Hallelujah. Awesome, awesome. Praise you, God. We're going to jump right into the Word tonight. God's got a good Word for us, and I have no doubt in my mind that I'm hearing from the Lord in what I'm speaking tonight, and because He's shown it to me through signs and wonders and just miraculous things. And I tell you, there's nothing better. Thank you, band, by the way. Awesome job in worship tonight. Hallelujah. So glad to have awesome musicians that love the Lord. But there's just been such a confirmation of the words I'm going to speak tonight from the Holy Ghost, from God. And I've always felt like no matter where I am in life, if I can know that God is speaking to me, I'm going to be okay. You know what I'm saying? Because there have been times in life where I wondered, where is God? Is God speaking? I can't hear His voice. And that to me is like walking in darkness. It's like running with your eyes shut. It's a scary place to be. But if I can just get a glimpse of what God wants to say to me, if I could just hear a word or just something to know that God is speaking to me, then I know it's going to be okay. His word is a lamp unto my feet and it's a light unto my path. And if I can just see even a glimpse of light, I say, oh, thank you, God. Hallelujah. I know He lives because He leads me all the time and He speaks to me constantly. And it's an exciting place to be. And so again, I know this is a word from the Lord. I actually got up this morning and started working on these notes. And it's a message God's been just pouring over in my heart lately. And I've been ministering. But I got up this morning and wrote down some things that the Lord was speaking to me. And then came near to the service this morning. And Pastor Bob was saying some of the exact things that I had written down. And I just said, God, You are so awesome. I love it because God confirms His word. So this is kind of part two of Pastor's message this morning. Some of it the same stuff, but I believe whenever God says something twice, it's a sure thing. That means that this is a sure thing. If you look in the Old Testament, anytime someone had two dreams in a row that meant the same thing, the prophet said, the reason God says it twice is because this is a sure thing. He wants you to know this shall surely come to pass. And he said, again, I say unto you. So tonight, again, I say unto you, but I want to talk to you tonight about the power of a seed, the power of a seed. And, you know, we've been soul winning souls, 57,000 souls that have been led to the Lord and have prayed the prayer of salvation with us here in Fort Worth alone, not to mention the other churches that have been raised up that are doing it now all over the place. But a businessman that was here this morning in the service came to me and said, hey, you got to hear this. I said, what? What? He said, I was doing business with a man in Singapore, and the man said, somehow it came up where I went to church, and he said, I go to Calvary Cathedral International, and the guy in Singapore said, isn't that the soul-winning church where all the souls are being saved? He had heard about that in Singapore. I thought, man, isn't that awesome? The good news travels fast, amen? It's all around the world. But God's been doing awesome things through divine appointments and connections. People are getting a hold. And the power of a seed is awesome. Seeds are designed to go into all the world. Even natural seeds are designed to travel. Did you know that? Even natural seeds. There was a guy in the 1700s named Johnny Appleseed who went around with a bag of seeds on his back and went around planting apple seeds. And some of the apples that we enjoy today came from those original apples that Johnny Appleseed planted. Isn't that cool that we're still enjoying the fruit from hundreds of years ago? But you think about it. The fruit that we enjoy now are seeds God created in the beginning. You know it? And so the seeds, there's the power of a seed. One of the things about the power of a seed is that it's an eternal power. It's long-lasting, especially when it comes to things of the Spirit. Things of the earth, they'll pass away. But His Word is forever settled in heaven. It's an eternal seed. And so anything you do for the kingdom, I love what Pastor Bob said this morning, oh, only one life will soon be passed, but only what's done for Christ will last. And it will last forever. There will be people that will be born again for eternity because of one seed you sowed. Man, that's the power of a seed. We've been ministering to the youth, which the youth, man, I tell you what, we have such an awesome group of youth in this church. The soul winning, the bus ministry, the food ministry, the things that they're involved in is just awesome to me. And I love to see young people that are doing great things for God. And I have been challenging them, basically giving them a dollar. I had $4 in my wallet one night, and it was time for an offering teaching, and God just dropped this into my heart. Kind of last minute, I thought, I've got $4. I'm going to teach on the parable of the 10 talents, but for me, it was only 4 talents because that's all I had in my wallet. So I said, I want 4 volunteers. 4 people stood up. I gave them a dollar. Here's a dollar, 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 dollar. I said, this is the challenge. I want you to make this dollar grow within 1 week. You can do whatever you want to with it as long as it's legal. Just make it grow in 1 week. And I said, do you accept the challenge? If you don't, you can sit back down because you didn't know what you're in for when I asked for volunteers. But they said, sure, we'll do it. So they went that week. They were gone. Came back the next week. People brought back the dollar. 2 people didn't show up with my dollar. God knows how I feel. He says, hey, they didn't show up with my money either. But 2 did. 2 came back with it. 1 of them, I said, what did you do with your dollar? Do you have my dollar? Actually, it's still mine. I said, I'm letting you use this. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Amen? I say, can I have my dollar back? Sure. So here's my dollar. I said, did you make it grow? Yes, I did. I asked 1 guy, what did you do? And he made it grow and doubled it, I think twice. So he'd gotten $2 with his dollar. And so then the second person I asked, do you have my dollar? He said, yes. I said, did you make it grow? He said, yes, I made $52. So I said, praise God. What did you do? How did you do that? He said, I bought some lotion. With a dollar, you bought lotion? How, explain this. He said, I started giving foot massages. He took lotion, bought $1 worth of lotion, started giving foot massages, and made $51. How many of you want to know the phone number of that young man? We'll send him to you. You can get a good foot massage. Hallelujah. Somebody put on Facebook, that young man will make a great husband someday. So guys, if you want a wife, hey, you need to use wisdom. But anyway, I'd been putting this on Facebook, talking about just giving a report of what people were doing. Different people did different things to make some money. Well, there was a youth pastor that I met one Wednesday night. I was over in junior high just ministering. And Robbie, you never know what God's going to do in junior high and how God's going to just bless you right there where you are. And I know that feeling. Sometimes you kind of feel like you're tucked away, like maybe nobody notices where you are. But God, it's kind of like athletics and sports. They'll know where to find you. You know what I'm saying? It's like if you're really good, scouts will find you. And God sent a man who came here on a Wednesday night looking for the youth service. He was a youth pastor from the East Coast. And we didn't have youth that night. So he said, well, I'll go to the junior high service. So he came over to junior high just to see what we were doing there. Loved it. He thought it was awesome. We became good friends instantly. And he was a wounded warrior that was in town. He had been blown up in a Humvee over in Afghanistan and was a wounded warrior doing something here at Texas Stadium and had a night off while all the other guys were going out doing whatever they were doing. He went to church. I said, now this is a real man of God here, first of all. He came to church. And so we started talking and everything. And I, you know, became friends with him on Facebook. And I think that was it. And this has been years ago. And I haven't really followed up with him. Well, I get this message on Facebook the other day. And he says, hey, call me. And this is Andrew. So I was like, okay, I'll call you. I remembered who he was and everything. And I was like, man, hey, how's it going? He said, hey, I want to tell you something that has happened. Again, the power of a seed. He said, you know that dollar challenge thing you were doing with your youth? I said, yeah, yeah. He said, I saw that on your Facebook, and I thought, hey, I think I'm going to try that with my youth. So he does. He goes to his youth, he gives them dollars, and he says, hey, I want you to make it grow by the next week. He said, 1 week went by, and nobody did anything really with it, so he got on to him and said, hey, come on, you need to do something with what you've got. And that's a whole other message in itself. But they got to work that week. The next week, one of the kids came up, a young man. He said, do you have my dollar? He said, yes. Have you made it grow? He said, yes. How much? He said, over $250 that this young man had increased that. He said, how did you do it? He said, I bought some cookie dough from my mom, made a cookie, about a dollar's worth of cookie dough, made a cookie or two, sold it, bought more cookie dough with that money, sold those, and it started multiplying and increasing to the point where we were over $200. So then another girl came up and said, how did you do? And she said, well, I increased this dollar and made over $600. And they said, what? How did you do that? She went online, created a video, and said, I'm giving a dollar to my church. I'm asking people to match that dollar. And so people began to match her dollar. Is this genius or what? I'm like, man, this is awesome. I need to take notes on this. This will be our next youth fundraiser. Hallelujah. I was going to say, we'll all fly to camp this year. Anyway, but she gets back over $600 from this thing. And so now he ended up with about $1,000, and he didn't give it back to the kids. He kept it. He said, God, what do I do with this $1,000? Well, there was a couple, there was a missionary couple, and they had this little girl named Aslan. She was 3 years old, and she was a missionary to their church, and she would always want her dad to build her a castle. So he would try to build her a little castle out of blocks. One time he made one outside, one of those blow-up castles, and a storm came and blew it away, all these things. And so meanwhile, what ended up happening was this little girl, they're in a car accident, and Aslan, 3 years old, dies in the car accident, and she goes to heaven. So her dad, wanting to do something in her memory and thinking, man, I want to do something so that people don't forget our little girl. So he's writing this book called Aslan, The Girl Who Finds Her Castle. And it's illustrated. It's really neat, neat little book. And so he's writing this book, but he needs money to get it published. And he needs money to get it produced and get it out and printed. And he doesn't have the money, so he made this deal online where he said, hey, if you give $1,000 or more, you can name a character in the book. And so they had a family in their church that had a baby that was stillborn. And the baby's name in their church was Adeline. And they thought, wow, isn't that amazing? We're going to put Adeline in the book. So he said, that's it, God. I'm going to take this $1,000. We're going to give it to this guy so he can print the book. Well, he told the church about it. The church got so excited, they stood up, and in one service, they gave a $3,000 offering. So now he's got $4,000. And he calls his friend Matt, who's a missionary, and says, hey, I accidentally raised $4,000 for your book that you need financing for. And he said, praise God. He said, I've got to come and meet you, man. This is amazing. So he came to their church. He wanted to come and receive the money personally. And as he came, again, the church knew he was coming. They raised another $1,000 right there. And so they ended up giving him $5,000. There was nowhere open at that time, I think, in the night. So Andrew said they met at McDonald's. They go into this McDonald's and they're sitting down there talking about how awesome God is, just his goodness. And then there was this guy that was just kept cussing and cussing and cussing. He worked there at the McDonald's while he's mopping or whatever. He asked him, well, what are you guys doing? He said, well, I'm a youth pastor. And Matt said, well, I'm a missionary. And all of a sudden, the conviction of God got on the guy. And he felt terrible. He's thinking, I've been cussing at you guys. He said, I'm sorry. He said, I've just never been the same since my little boy died. And they said, really? And Matt said, how old was your little boy? He was 3 years old. And the manager said, hey, Matt, you need to get over here and do whatever. And the guy's name was Matt. That was mopping, who had a three-year-old son that died. And here's Matt sitting here, whose three-year-old daughter just died. And he has a book called of Aslan, the Girl Who Finds Her Castle. And God just started ministering to that man right there. And Andrew grabbed the mop and said, you need to sit down and talk to this guy. I'm going to mop for you. But it was an awesome story. And he said all that. And he said, I don't want you to take this the wrong way. But he said all that out of that dumb little $1 challenge. The power of a seed. You don't know what you're doing and where it will go and how many people it will reach. I probably would have never known that if he had not just called me and said, man, you won't believe what happened. It's not the end of the story. So Easter, really, if you think about it, Easter is all about a seed that was planted and resurrected and just burst forth into resurrection life. You think about it, even the fact that Jesus was buried in a garden tomb. just like a seed is in a garden. Have you ever noticed that? Isn't that cool? I think God thought, I'm going to even do this in a garden. Just maybe people will get it. But seeds are designed to go into all the world. You can't walk through a field without seeds latching all over you. You know it? That's how they travel through animals or whatever. We call them stickers, or some people call them cockle burrs or whatever you call them. And they get on you and they travel all over the place because they latch on. That's how the gospel is. It's a seed that just latches onto somebody, and people might be walking through this church or walking through their neighborhood, and somebody just hits them with the gospel and they just think, whoa, what's this? And they think, oh, no, I don't need that. And they're walking away. But later on, as they're walking away, they stop and they're thinking, wait, something's not right in my heart. What is it? I've got a seed that somehow latched onto me. And there's a seed that's starting to grow. And so that word, the gospel of God, starts to grow in their hearts. We also see the seeds that are scattered by the wind. Have you ever seen those little seeds, maybe from trees or from those little, what do you call those, ones you blow and the little seeds just... Dandelions, thank you. I should remember that one starts with Dan. Hallelujah. Yeah, Dan the lion. Hallelujah. Amen. The young lion. Hallelujah. By the wind. And so seeds are being scattered really everywhere as we're preaching the gospel. And I'm telling you, there are, if you study seeds, I mean, in world travel, a lot of times governments, they want to know, are you bringing any seeds into this country? Because they know if you're bringing any seeds, this could infiltrate our country. And a lot of times they will confiscate those things. They'll say, no, you cannot bring those seeds. You cannot bring that fruit. You cannot bring that stuff in here. And that's the way the devil is in our government and our schools and those places where the devil says, whoa, do you have the gospel? No, the gospel cannot come in here. Prayer here? No, the prayer can't happen here, because they're so scared and afraid at how the gospel will infiltrate and change an area. The devil is shaking in his boots as we're just out spreading seed everywhere. Man, you think about the harvest that is coming. And we are reaping, but we're also sowing. We're sowing and reaping at the same time. But what you see is a result of the seeds that you have sown in the past. What you're seeing in your life is a result of the power of the seed in your life. And words are seeds. Every word that we say is a seed that's going in somebody's heart and either producing life or it's producing death. And it may take some time for that word to come to pass in your life, but it shall come to pass. And I know some people, they'll just say things and say, well, you know, it didn't really happen, you know. Like somebody said, the name it and claim it people, I name it and I claim it. Hallelujah. Was that Troy? I think you might have said that. I don't know. Sounds like something you would say. Something anointed, something good. But it may not happen immediately, but just like a seed doesn't grow up immediately, sometimes our words, the Bible says our tongue is like the rudder on a ship, or it's like, I like to say it, like a steering wheel on a bike. In that you can let go, or you can close your eyes and not look at where you're going for a moment, and you'll still be going straight. And then you open your eyes and say, oh, well, there's really no need to steer this thing. It'll go straight on its own. But I'm telling you, your life, although you might think, I don't really need to say too much or do too much to cause my life to keep going toward the Lord, because it's still going even whenever I say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing. But what happens is you get off little by little. And it takes some time, but eventually you'll find yourself way off course if your tongue and if your mouth is off course from God's word and you're not planting the right seeds. Eventually you're going to look at your garden and it's going to be full of weeds and junk and just stuff you don't want. I have a friend named Adam, and he was riding his bike one day when he was a kid, and he was riding down this hill, and he said that he was riding his bike and just loved the wind blowing in his face and just the feeling. It was a beautiful day. He's riding down this big, long hill, and he just loved it. And for a second, he just closed his eyes and kind of lifted up his hands and then looked back, and he thought, hey, wow, I'm still on the road. That was cool. So he decides, you know, I'm going to do that again. He goes back up. He does it again. But he thinks, this time I'm just going to keep my eyes closed because I can still go straight. So he kept his eyes closed. And as he's going down the street, he's just flying with his eyes closed. and he's starting to veer off course, but doesn't know it. Eventually, as he got near the end, he said there were these brick walls that came out kind of into the street to the side there. And he said as he was going, he missed every brick wall, but that last one, he was just over enough to catch that brick wall. And with his eyes closed and his hands up, he just flew right into a brick wall on his bike, broke his glasses. It was terrible. And I thought, you know, that is so much like life sometimes, and that we hit a brick wall and we wonder what happened. You know, it happened something way back there where we just started getting off course just a little bit. And again, what we see and what we say is who we really are. Have you ever heard of, you remember those little things when we were kids called a see and say? It was a little toy that you pull the little string. I think I have a picture of one that I emailed. I don't know if Richard has. Hey, there it is. Awesome. You pull the thing, you pull the little lever down, and it'll say, like, the cow goes moo. I used to love that thing when I was a kid. That was my favorite thing. And you could turn it to whatever you wanted and pull the thing, and it would say whatever it was. That's like one of my favorite toys. I wish I had one today. But like one of the old ones, not those new ones. The new ones aren't any good. But you got to see it and you got to say it. But God's been speaking to me because there's been so many things in life that God showed me that I didn't say. And there are so many visions and thoughts and dreams that he put in my heart. And I can just close my eyes and I can see it. And I just think, wow, God, that's awesome. And that's where it ends. And I wonder, why are these things not coming to pass? And God says, you need to say it. You need to start speaking those things out and sowing the seed of that through your words and say that so that you can say, the victory goes, hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God, the Holy Ghost says, Sikarabakasitikia, like the toy says, Brahmamanagasitikia, see, hallelujah. The Holy Ghost says, hallelujah. And so we've got to speak those words out and take what God's shown us in our heart and go ahead and start speaking those out. And I know sometimes we're afraid to say what's in our heart because the Bible says, you know, don't cast your pearls before swine. You don't tell everybody or else they'll trample those things and they'll rend you. And so you don't share your dreams with everybody. I understand that. But you do need to start speaking those things out into existence because that's how creativity works. That's how God created the earth. God said, let there be light. God said, let there be plants. Let there be trees. He said, let this happen. And you say, let there be prosperity in this house. Let there be healing in this house. Let there be health and life and strength in this house. And speak those things that you want into existence. And I'm telling you, over a period of time, you will see those things coming up into your life. And you've got to change sometimes the way you talk. And there are some things people call generational curses. But I tell you, who did you learn how to talk from? You know, your parents. Or maybe your grandparents or whoever raised you. You learn how to talk from them. It's no wonder you've got the same things in your life that they had in their lives. You've got to change the way that you talk. Change those seeds that you are sowing into your life. And it will change your entire course of your destiny. And generation from generation, you'll see families go from this level to this level based on changing what they're saying and what they're sowing and what God's showing them. 2 Corinthians 5:16 says this, "Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." I like this version here. God's Words version says, "So from now on, we don't think of anyone from a human point of view. If we did think of Christ from a human point of view, we don't anymore. Whoever is a believer in Christ is a new creation. The old way of living has disappeared. A new way of living has come into existence." So we have found a new way of living. I like that old song. "I have a new way of living. I found a new life divine. I have the fruit of the Spirit. Because I'm abiding in the vine. Hallelujah. When we abiding in the vine, love, joy, health, peace, he has made them mine. I have prosperity, power, and victory. Abiding in the vine. You're abiding in the vine. Those things are going to naturally produce, but we've got to do that in the spirit. And you are not who you see in the flesh, but who you see in the spirit. Amen? And if you know Jesus, then you are in Christ, in the spirit. And when we see ourselves in Christ, we realize who we really are. The potential there is enormous. The potential is infinite. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Maybe not on the outside, but on the inside you can, and that will affect the outside. And we see ourselves in Christ by listening to the Holy Ghost and acknowledging the Spirit rather than the flesh. And I'm telling you, I've done this so many times. I'll just tell on myself. Sometimes I see the way things are in the natural, and I get depressed. I see things in the natural, and I get discouraged. I look in the natural, and things in the natural don't look good. But I've got to quit looking at things in the natural. Stop that. And I tell myself, Dan, stop that. Quit looking at this in the natural. Look at it in the spiritual. Because in the spiritual, that's what is true and that's what is real. And you start speaking the answer, not the problem. How often do we acknowledge the face of the flesh, but we spend no time looking at the face of the spirit? To look at ourselves according to the Spirit and get out of the flesh. When we wake up in the morning, when you wake in the morning and you go look at your hair and it's all messed up and your face, your eyes are all puffy and you're just thinking, ah. Don't look at yourself after the flesh, but think, man, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am an overcomer. I'm a mighty man of valor. Hallelujah. I don't need to work out today. Somebody said, actually it was Charles Spurgeon said, mental power may gather a large congregation, but only spiritual power will save souls. Let me say that again. Charles Spurgeon said, mental power may gather a large congregation, maybe on the outside, but only spiritual power will save souls. And that's a work that God does in somebody's heart. That's something inside that can't necessarily be seen right at first, but you see it over a period of time. And in the flesh, we were born with limitations, flaws, weaknesses. We have things about us that we don't like in our flesh. But praise God, if we start to see ourselves after the Spirit, see others and our friends and those after the Spirit, we see the mighty man of God, the mighty woman of God that's on the inside of them. It's awesome. Jesus said in John 3:3 that we must be born again. You got to be born again. And we don't even think sometimes we've been born again so long. I was born again when I was 6 years old. Sometimes I had to stop. And one thing about soul winning that has been a blessing to me, the power of a seed, is that it has allowed me to see life being born again. And if it's been a while, you forget what that's like. If you haven't had kids in a long time, you forget. It's only been 3 years since we had a baby. And I look at these little babies now that are being born, and I think, my gosh, were they ever that tiny? And they're just light as a little football, and you can just carry them forever. And I think, man, I remember those days. But you have to experience it to remember that. And you have to be born again. John 3:6 says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So as people are born again, they're a new life. And you may have been born with an ugly personality. You may have been born with an ugly face or handicap or physical limitation or something that you feel, man, I just don't like this about myself. Well, quit looking at that. Look at yourself after the Spirit, because in the Spirit, you're limitless. Isn't that awesome? Amen. You might say, well, that's my personality. I don't have a bold personality. I have a very shy and quiet. Well, quit looking at the way you were born and start looking at the way you were born again. Start looking at the way you're born again instead of saying, well, I was born poor, I'm going to die poor. No, you're not. You're born again rich. He became poor so that we might be made rich. Amen? Everything he said you have, you have. Praise God. That's good. So in the spirit, we were born without limitations, flaws, weaknesses. In the spirit, we're just like Jesus, and we are complete in Christ. Colossians 2:9 says, "For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily," in Jesus. In verse 10, "And you are complete," or mature. That word there means mature. "You're mature in him, which is the head of all principality and power." We are mature in Christ. So, you know, that's cool to think. On the outside, we may be immature, and our flesh is definitely immature. I've never known anybody whose flesh was mature. They're always immature, because that's just the nature of flesh. It cries out. It wants what it wants. It's immature. This pastor was saying this morning, "Well, I'm hurt." Well, that's immature. And again, I wrote this before I heard his message this morning. I wrote this morning as I was praying, and I know this is a word from God to us to say we need to think and live after the Spirit, and then we will live maturely. And so we got to start focusing on who we are related to in the Spirit rather than who we are related to in the flesh. And I love family. Family is wonderful on this earth, but we've got to quit looking at who we are related to in the flesh and seeing their weaknesses and taking them on as our own and saying, "You know what? I'm looking more so at who I'm related to in the Spirit. I have a Father. His name is God. I have his DNA. I have the blood of Jesus. And spiritually speaking, I am a king and a priest." Hallelujah. I'm royalty. And so that'll help insecurities. There are sometimes people that they're insecure, and you can see it in their life. If you have any insecurities in your life, it's because you're focusing on the flesh. And if you're feeling hurt and somebody's touching those hurts, it's because you're focusing and paying more attention to the flesh than you are in the Spirit, because the Spirit isn't hurt. The Spirit can't be hurt, because you are sealed to the day of redemption. Romans 8:15 says, "For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." And I thought, what a contrast there for God to say, you haven't received fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption. Now, how does fear and adoption have to do with, what does that have to do with each other? But God's saying, to be adopted means that you've been chosen by God. And when you've been chosen by God, that casts out all fear, because you know this person must want me because they chose me. It's like the kid. There was a kid who was actually a natural birth child, and then he had a brother that was adopted. And he used to tease his brother all the time and say, "You're adopted, you're adopted." And he used to have a hard time with that, because he was adopted. He wasn't born into that family. Until one day he got the revelation and he told his brother, he said, "Yes, I was adopted. But you know what? That means mom and dad chose me. They were stuck with you." They didn't have a choice. They were just stuck with you. But they chose me. 1 John 4:18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect," or mature, "love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that feareth is not mature or perfect in love." Just immature is all it is. But perfect love casts out all fear. We don't need to be immature, but we need to realize by the Spirit we are chosen of God. We've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, "Abba, Father." And so we cannot be picking out daisies and saying, "He loves me, he loves me not, he loves me, he loves me. Does God love me? No, he doesn't. Does he? I don't know. Am I saved? No, I don't know. Am I born again?" And we live our life that way. And again, it's an insecurity that we feel because we're immature, focusing on the flesh and not on the Spirit. You know the story of Gideon? Judges 6, verse 12. And again, this was in my notes this morning. And I'm hearing Pastor preach this. And I said, this is a word from God, because he's confirming this word. This is a word. This means it's a sure word. Judges 6, 12. "The angel of the Lord appeared unto Gideon and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, mighty man of valor.'" Again, this angel is speaking words of life into him, this seed. "And Gideon said to him, 'Oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, Why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, didn't the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked on him and said, go in this your might, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And then I love Gideon's response here. He says, oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall smite the Midianites as one man. It'll be like you're just beating up one man. And the Midianites were a countless, innumerable army. And here Gideon is, God, how am I going to do this? I'm the poorest, we're the poorest family in all of Fort Worth. And I'm the dumbest one in our family. How's this going to, I'm the least. I was the least likely to succeed. How is this going to happen? Could you imagine? I mean, really think about it. Could you imagine being the poorest family in the city and being maybe the dumbest, least likely? I mean, I can just imagine what Gideon must have been like. I know a lot of us see Gideon, he's this mighty man of valor, but he might not have been. He said right here he wasn't. In fact, he was hiding out. And God said, you mighty man of valor, I am with you. Have I not sent you? And look here in verse 15, he said to him, oh, my Lord, how will I do this? And then in verse 16, he said, I will be with you. We can't take credit for anything God does in the spirit because it's all him. It's not me. It's not you. It's not us. It's him. And all we got to do is just link up with him and say, yes, Lord, we can do that. And we can say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon, praise God, and win that battle. But God saw the future before we did. I've heard Pastor Bob say, you know, being an attorney's son didn't do much for him in ministry. To say, you know, it really doesn't help much. And I know that feeling. My dad was a pastor, but he went through a divorce and went through a time where having a dad who was a pastor that went through a divorce and was in the 80s was like worse than having a dad who was anything else. Because then you had like a black mark on you. It's not like it is today. Nowadays you can commit adultery, go out and start a church tomorrow and everyone will come. I don't understand that. But back then, I know there's a balance of grace and mercy, but back then it was like it was over. Your life was over at that point. And so I knew that feeling of always walking around with that mark on you and kind of that shame and that feeling of this is who we are. People would love you, think you're great. As soon as they found out you were divorced, it was like, oh, well, never mind. But God sees the future before we do, and he'll call you what you will be even before you are. And I love how Pastor Bob, one day over on Farrington Field, as Oral Roberts was ministering, and he had his friends around, he said out of his mouth, someday I will be a preacher of the gospel. And he spoke that thing into existence right there and planted a seed that is producing fruit today. And God's showing me these things to say, listen, you do the same thing. You may not think you're anything special, but God has already called you special. And he says you are, and you start speaking those things into existence and watch that life start happening in you. And that's why we can boldly say who and what we are, because we are in Christ. And not only about ourselves, but also about our children, about our families, our friends. We can see them with the same eye of faith that God does, just like God did in Gideon. And we can see people that may come into this church that they may be, maybe some that others would say are the least. Remember, Jesus said, as much as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. Think about this. We could be entertaining Gideon. We could be helping Gideon get on that bus and helping Gideon to do what he needs to do. Not knowing that we've got, like Paul, they're letting him down in the basket. Pastor has this message. You never know who's in your basket. Here you are letting this guy down. He's a fugitive and you think, man, we'll never see that guy again. And yet here he becomes one of the greatest men of God that ever lived. And so seeing others in the Spirit will affect your life. How do we have compassion on people? How do we do that? I know sometimes in the natural, it's hard to have compassion on somebody who they flip you off and cuss you out. And you just want to go, you just want to grit your teeth and say, oh, you better be glad I'm at church right now. But how do you have real compassion on people? The only way you can do it is if you see them by the Spirit and you see them as a lost soul, somebody that needs Jesus. And you say, oh, Lord, I pray for that person. God, my heart is moved with compassion for that person because I can see they have needs. And we see people all the time as we go around. It starts to change the way we see things as we see things through the eye of the Spirit. And we have spiritual eyes. We got to realize that there are things that are happening in the Spirit that we're not always seeing. Remember the story of Elijah, the prophet, and he had his servant. And there's all these men, they're have people coming in, they're surrounding, his eyes bugged out, and he goes to his master and says, oh my gosh, we're surrounded. We're in trouble. We're going to die. And he says, Lord, open the guy's eyes, please. Because Elijah was just seeing in the Spirit. I can imagine how he's just seeing in the Spirit. And he's like, he's just looking around at these angels. And these angels of fire completely surrounded them. And he says, Lord, open their eyes and show them there's more with us than there be with them. Man, we ain't sweating it. We ain't in trouble. Are you kidding? And when we see things in the Spirit, we can see with the eye of faith how God sees it. And so many times I've been the guy that freaked out. And I go back later and kick myself and I always say, if I would have known then what I know now, I wouldn't have freaked out back then. And I can tell you, whatever you're facing, whatever situation you're facing, if it seems like there's a dead situation in your life and something is dying or it's not working or whatever, you're having a hard time or it's trouble or it's suffering, you can know that that a lot of times is the prerequisite to success. As they say, sometimes it gets dark right before dawn. And sometimes we freak out because the moon has gone up. I mean, I like to go out on a night when there's a full moon and you can just see almost like daylight. And then that moon is going over. And as it goes down, I mean, it gets pitch black to where it is just dark. You can't see a single thing. But that means the sun is about to come up. So get excited. Get ready. Because although the moon is gone, the sun is about to come up. And I'm telling you, there's a time in our life when it seems like it's getting dark. It's getting bad. Things in the world are getting worse. It's getting worse and worse and worse. But praise God, the sun is about to arise. Amen. With healing in his wings. Hallelujah. It's exciting. So we see people with the eye of the Spirit and not with the eye of the flesh. There's no racism in the Spirit. There's no color in the Spirit. There's no nationality in the Spirit. We're all of heaven. We're all citizens of heaven. And we're all the same color of God. I don't know what color that is, but we're made in his image. And praise God, I don't know what we're going to be like. Our glorified body might just radiate light all the time. I know I'm not too far from that really right now, just in that I'm so white, I guess. I don't know what we're going to be like. It's like somebody told me one time, I said, man, I'm just so white. Again, I was looking at the flesh. I was looking at my natural man, and I didn't like what I saw in the mirror. And I put on this suit. I got a suit just like my friend had. And he was dark-skinned, and I got a suit like him, and I put it on, and I didn't like what I saw, and I told him, I said, you know, my white skin just does not go with this suit. And he said, man, you're not white. And I said, well, I'm not. I thought, oh, well, maybe I'm just seeing things. I goes, no, you're fluorescent. And I am. Praise God. Yeah, I have to go out at night so I don't get sunburned. But then I found out I go out at night, I get moonburned. I have to be careful. I'm so light-complected. I have to have moonblock. Praise God. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it will eat the fruit thereof. Again, your words are seeds that will produce fruit, and you're going to eat the fruit of that. And so whenever we're racist against people, we're saying things, we got to watch our words sometimes and make sure we're not saying things that are derogatory or contrary to somebody's flesh. When if we see them after the Spirit, we can say, I mean, there's no problem there. Same thing with classism. There's racism, but there's also classism, where people say, well, they're not really of our class. We're a little more upper class than they are. Well, again, you'd have counted Gideon out too. The savior of that whole nation. You would have counted Jesus out, because here he is. He has no place to even be born. He's born in a stable. And again, God comes in sometimes in the lower class. In fact, I would say probably most of the time, the lower class of our society is who God picks and says, I'm going to use you and do mighty great things with you. And so we can't look at racism, we can't look at classism, we can't look at money, we can't look at anything of the flesh, but when we see people, we must really work and see with the eye of faith and say, God, and let the eyes of my understanding be enlightened, so that I can see things for the way they are and see every person as a precious soul. This Easter Sunday, as we have all those people that are coming in, help me to really, truly, honestly see them as a soul. And I know a lot of us think, well, there's not really a problem with racism, you know, but you might need to check and ask yourself, is there? I know there's not really a problem with classism. I love everybody, but you might need to ask yourself, do I really treat everybody the same? Do I love some more than others? Just because they may stink to my flesh or they may offend me in the natural, do I still love on them? As Pastor said this morning, when he was there in India, he just got so moved with compassion, he put his hand on a leper. That's moved by the Spirit, and that the flesh didn't even face him to the point where he's just thinking, I'm going to lay hands on this person and see healing in this person's body. I don't care that he's a leper. And he just jumped out in faith. And when we do that, a lot of times we'll do things that don't make sense in the natural. And we'll say, wow, why did I do that? Because I saw that situation or that person in the Spirit. And so God will start to change things in our heart from, instead of saying, well, I have to I get to. And we'll start planting those seeds of I get to. That's another thing you got to watch in your language and the way we talk. You might have been a learned pattern that you say, well, I've got to go to work. I have to go to work. And you say, do you have to or do you get to? You know, we've got to go to church. Oh, yeah, it's time. We got to go to church. Well, do you have to or do you get to? And when you say to Six Flags, you don't say, oh, we have to go to Six Flags. I mean, unless your parents and it's your kids. I understand that. But if it's kids, you say, we have to go to Six Flags. But when it's your kids, they say, we get to go to Six Flags. Woohoo! It's awesome. We should want to and say, we get to go to church. We get to do these things. We get to go soul winning. We get to go to the Easter extravaganza. We get to do these things. And when we were in Israel, our tour guide, Monty Kalmovich, said something one time as we were driving by where the temple used to be there, the Temple Mount. There was a person that was running up those steps, and he said something that caught my attention. He said, in Israel, let me tell you the way it is. This is how we do it. This is how we do it, actually. In those days, you run to the temple, but you walk slowly back from the temple. And they made it like a religious tradition in that you get in a hurry to be there, but then you walk slowly from it. And they made it like a tradition, but it started out as a heart attitude where people were so excited to get there that we should be in a hurry to want to get to church, but then to leave his presence, we're slow going. Because we get to, we don't have to. Amen. There's a difference between have to and want to. Lord, I want to praise you. Well, praise God if that's in your heart, where you ever just say, Lord, I really do want to serve you. Man, isn't that an awesome place to be? Say, Lord, thank you for putting that in my heart. It couldn't be your flesh that does that, because your flesh doesn't want to serve God, but your spirit man does. And whenever you say, you know what, I really want to be there, it's because you're living after the Spirit. And man, what a great place to be. I want to serve. I want to get involved. I want to help. You're living by the Spirit. And I would rather have a handful of people that will live after the Spirit than a whole multitude of people that live after the flesh. And somebody said, well, one little word doesn't really change anything or going to hurt anything. But little things control big things. They do. Again, the tongue is a little member, but yet it controls so much. It's the difference between life and death. It's the difference between blessing and cursing, good and evil. There's a difference. And so you speak with your mouth and you believe in your heart. Romans 10, 8 through 13. We're about to wrap this up. The power of a seed. Romans 10, 8 through 13. But what saith it? The word. The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. It's the word of faith. And how were you born again? You were born again because you believed in your heart and you said out of your mouth, and that seed was planted. Again, Jesus Christ himself is the Word of God that was made flesh and dwelt among us. And I don't want to go into a whole biological lesson here, but Mary, she did not have the seed planted on the inside of her naturally. She was the Virgin Mary and was known as the Virgin Mary. But God took the seed of the Word that was made flesh, and it actually came to life and was put on the inside of her, and life came. Because whenever you get a seed of God's Word on the inside of you, life starts to spring forth. And life comes out. And it can, just as it is with Jesus, it can be a creative miracle on the inside of you that will actually regenerate and create new cells in your body. As you speak the word of God for healing, it can cause things to actually manifest in the natural or to be born. You can speak those things into existence if it's a word from God. But we've got to get to where we quit speaking our words. Even Jesus said, I don't even speak my own words. He said, I only speak the words that I hear from my Father. Man, could you imagine what our life would be like if we lived that way? We must live that way and do our best to say, I only speak the words that I hear of my Father. Good words, life-giving words. Again, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report. If it's pure, lovely, of good report, think on these things. Well, you're going to say what you're thinking, so you got to think on these things and you got to say whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is a good report. And as you do, it's the power of a seed that will continue to grow on the inside of us and cause life to every situation in our life. Every person that we come in contact this week, we're going to impart life into them. This Sunday morning, Easter, there's going to be life just everywhere. And I'd love to see the people. I wish you could, those of you that weren't here, to see the people that came that are volunteering to help during this outreach event on Easter Sunday morning. I mean, we had these probably two sections full of people that are here to help and to serve this Sunday morning. And that excited me to see. Because I know these people are the real deal. And your faith is being spoken of all over the world. You have no idea. It's the power of a seed. And you'll walk places and you'll say, man, I don't even know how this got here. As Pastor Bob Nichols has said before, it's like a little plant that grows up in the crack of a sidewalk. Because some bird flew over and dropped a seed, or the wind blew it, the wind of the Holy Ghost, or maybe it was a sticker that came off, I don't know, but was planted there. And the word of God does not return void, but it does exactly what God means for it to accomplish. But I want you to just bow your head right now, and I want you to make a conscious decision in your heart right now and just think about the words that you've been saying. You say, Dan, how do you know? Because I've lived it too. And we've got to see and say and start saying those things that you see. And if you have a negative mental picture or a negative thought in your head, no, that's not from God. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if the enemy is telling you death and you're seeing death, you're seeing destruction, you're seeing poverty, you're seeing lack, you're seeing not enough, whatever it is you're seeing right now, you need to change that and say, God, give me a new image. Give me your word. Let his word paint a new picture on the inside of you and then start speaking those words out. And start saying them. Put seed all over your house. Type it up. Put it on your mirror. Put it on your door. Surround it. And then start saying those things as you come in. And start speaking those things as you get in your car, as you get out, as you go about your business. Start speaking that word of God. And I'm telling you, it may not happen right away, but over a period of time, you'll see that you'll have so much fruit in your life that you never had before. And it'll change your children. And your children's children and your children's children's children, should Jesus tarry? I don't know. But I think of how God has set us up for success at a time when people everywhere are looking for answers and they're looking for God. People are searching for God right now like never before. And God has set us up, given us huge nets and people to cast them. And we're about to see a huge harvest. Hallelujah. And see, we're speaking those things forth. And again, if you weren't here this morning, you need to go online and listen to the message Pastor Bob preached this morning. Because this only just builds on that. This is just kind of part two of what he preached this morning. But again, it's a sure word. God wants us to be moved with compassion to people, see them by the Spirit, speak words of life into them, and that's the power of a seed. Hallelujah. Korabang. Just begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. Korabanga siti kiasi. Borabanga siti kiasi. Hallelujah. I'm just sensing right now there are people here tonight. This is, I believe, what the call is. There are people here tonight that you've had negative words spoken over you, maybe in a certain area. We all have different areas that we've had challenges in, that maybe negative words were spoken over you, or maybe you've even said them yourself. And God's brought the answer tonight to your situation. And you say, you know what? I recognize and I acknowledge that. Hallelujah. Actually, Sharon, if you could just come on up and just start playing also. If you're here tonight and you say, you know what? There is something in my heart that there have been negative words spoken over me. And I want to change it and I want to see change in that area of my life. I want you to just lift your hand right now and say, hey, that's me. All right, thank you. I see those hands. I see that hand. Again, it's not a salvation call. We've already had the altar call. But you're saying there have been areas in my life where negative words were spoken over me, and I've been seeing myself that way, or I've been having hang-ups there, and I realize, oh, it's because those words were spoken over me that were not right. Maybe it's something that you've been saying of yourself that you realize, oh, maybe you got that from mom. Maybe you got it from dad, where you were born. And you're saying, you know what? Now I'm going to start saying how I've been born again. I want you, if that's you, I want you to just stand. I want you to come stand up here, and I'm going to pray for you. I believe God's going to do a work in you, and that's going to be pulled out tonight. Those negative words, that negative mindset or whatever it was, is going to be pulled out of you tonight. Hallelujah. We're going to do some weed and feed tonight. Hallelujah. Weed and feed is what you call that. It pulls out the weeds and it feeds the grass. It pulls out what you don't want and it feeds what you do want. Just come on up, stand up in a line. Hallelujah. We're going to pray for you. And I believe as you come forward that God is putting a new image on the inside of you from what you saw in the past. And the past is past at last. And God's best truly is yours. God's best is yours. God has nothing but love for you. Hallelujah. Sharon, just sing whatever you feel led to sing or play. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else, you say, you know what? I just want to.